Hello, Interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Justin.
We are in crisis, and like, state of the world and all that. I know there's a lot of things going on, but we personally are in a crisis, a very personal and mundane crisis, personally, which I'm sure many of you can relate to. But the idea is that we're struggling to accept as human beings right now is that we will never see all the media we want to see, or, and this one hurts, especially as creators, or make all the things we want to make. This is kind of coming about as a bit of a late quarter life crisis edition. We already went through our quarter life crises, but we're still picking up new ones along the way. And this is one. We don't have the time.
There's too many good things coming out right now, and I'm upset.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to necessarily run down a list of them, because it'll probably be outdated by the time we're releasing this one. But just, we see all these things we like, and all these things we want to do, and we just kind of just have to stare at the screen and be like, well, yeah, that's like 8 hours of my time. I kind of block them out. You know, I'm like, well, this is going to be 8 hours of my time for that. It's going to be 10 hours of my time for that. And ooh, the one network TV show I watched that still has 20 episodes a season, that's like 20 hours of my time.
No, those get thrown out at this point. They're too long.
The only ones of those I still watch are old ones at this point.
Golden Girls.
I don't know how long that one ran. That's like seven years, 30 episode, like 20-something episodes.
See, it sounds like your next challenge.
Yeah, Golden Girls is something I want to watch, and you won't. See, this is the problem. This is the problem.
You won't.
I have a list. Every single time somebody tells me things to watch, I have a list, and I'm probably never going to get through it all. And I still have to endure countless conversations of every single time a random movie comes up. It doesn't matter how niche it is. Somebody will always have the audacity to say, you haven't seen this? Like I'm supposed to have?
Your name in one of our group chats is still plays God of War 2016 in 2025 or something like that. But now it's 2025, so it's not funny anymore.
It's 2025, it's and I'm only playing years. God of War 1 and 2.
Still
haven't even played 3, let alone the reboot.
I'm gonna have to change it, because I think we expected that, like, you know, the game's been out for almost 10 years, that you would have played it by now, but you haven't got there. Because you're not consuming things fast enough. Consume.
I am consuming plenty, is the thing, and I think we as a society all are consuming. But the problem is, I'm consuming more bite-sized stuff. I'm on YouTube a lot, and that's losing its luster for sure. I go on YouTube and I'm starting to feel kind of nihilistic about it. I go on there and I watch stuff to pass the time, but it doesn't feel meaningful or really all that interesting. I just sometimes I kind of learn something and I like that, but I don't really have that passion for it or really care. I'm just killing time, and I consciously realize this. The more I do it, I get more value out of life by creating things. But also, I'm kind of lazy and procrastinating all the time, every aspect of my life. And I just want to push the creation, because you know why? Because consuming is easy, creating is hard. It's easier to open up YouTube and watch 10 YouTube shorts, because, you know, who would watch a 10-minute video? 10 YouTube
That's
shorts, let's
long.
Do that. Instead of opening up a document and trying to think of how to make a podcast, write our next episode of Close Up and spend 10 minutes on that instead. But I'll watch YouTube for those 10 minutes.
Nope. Shorts is poison. Don't do it.
I definitely found that.
It's poison.
For sure. Although it's gotten weirdly a little bit better since they got the 3-minute shorts.
No.
I'm like,
no, it's still poison.
It's bad.
I didn't even know that's a thing. I haven't watched shorts in like years. It's great. I feel so free.
I basically exclusively watch shorts.
Oh, man.
Not exclusively. I watch a lot of longer form stuff too, but not as much as I used to. At least not on YouTube. I definitely do for like TV and movies. But yeah, it's just the list is very long. TV, movies, video games, comics. Do you know how many comic books I have in my bedroom right now? If you saw the list of comics I own versus how much I read, you'd be like, why do you spend so much money on this hobby? It's bad. And video games as well. Just the amount of stuff between my Steam list and the physical video games that I've got. Hell, you played more of my own video games than I have at this point.
But I can't even keep up.
I loan them to you when I get them, and I get them fully intending to play it someday. I will play most of them eventually, I hope. But I give them to you first. You're the one who's ripped the cellophane off of my games a lot of times.
I haven't made it to Outlaws yet.
Yeah. And that's the boat I find myself in because I'm too busy consuming other things. Like, I picked up a video game for the first time in months the other day. And, like, I started literally months ago. And I'm like, okay, I put like another hour and a half into that. Let's pick this up again in two more months after I just got past the title card. Yay. I'm like, really? I'm just at the title card now? Oh, man. It's painful. Not to mention all the great novels that are out there, all the myths and legends I probably should read, and all the great works of art I've yet to see or consume, all the great movies in the 100 years of cinema, all the great TV shows.
You can't consume everything. It's impossible.
It's impossible to consume everything, and it's impossible to consume everything good and still have a life.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel part of my quarter life crisis, I am annoyed how much good things came out before I was born. Somebody like our boss, who is very, you know, he's that guy who's always, you haven't seen this? I'm like, okay, you are 14 years older than me, and a lot of good stuff came out in those 14 years. You got to see a lot more things as they were coming out, and I've got to play catch up and see the new stuff that's coming out at the same time. So keeping up with new stuff is hard, let alone trying to consume the classics of whatever medium you're most interested in.
Marvel and Star Wars alone is hard enough to keep up with.
Do you know how much of my life I've dedicated to learning the lore of DC Comics, Star Trek, and Doctor Who specifically?
Too much.
I believe, like, Doctor Who alone was over 800 hours of my life I've spent on that particular subject.
Ooh.
I think Star Trek was also... Yeah, I gotta look this up. Star Trek.
Star Trek is a lot.
Star Trek.
Man, I made you put even more hours in because you had to watch them all the movies with me.
That's true.
We're still not finished. I still haven't seen them all.
All Doctor Who. So to watch all of Doctor Who would take 31 days, 4 hours, and 20 minutes. Okay, well, I haven't seen some of the spin-off ones in there, though. If you only watch the main show, it would take 28 days, 18 hours, and 5 minutes. I've seen them all. I've spent that 28 days on Doctor Who. On Star Trek, all the television shows back to back and movies, that's 23 days of continuous viewing, 556 hours. I spent that.
God, that's a lot of time.
I've done that investment. I don't know how much DC comics and movies, if you want to tally up all that time, but it takes me like 10 to 20 minutes to read a comic, depending on whether it's a modern comic or a really wordy comic from the 1940s, but like burning the candle at both ends. I read a whack ton of DC comics. I spent most of my teens looking up the lore of these comics before I owned them and had access to read them, let alone watching the movies. I have devoted a lot of my life to very minuscule areas or stuff like Star Wars. I've seen all, I think there's 11 movies. 11 main released movies at this point, 9 plus the 2 plus Rogue One and Solo. But then there's like, think about all the things I could have watched instead of that. Instead of watching 11 Star Wars movies, if I just watch, you know, the 6 good ones and, you know, watched 5 other movies instead of, I mean, that's a hindsight of 2020 thing because, you know, the sequels I watched as they were coming out. But I'm just saying, like, that's as an example. And I'm like that for a lot of things. I watch entire franchises of things. That's what a lot of my list looks like, is if I've seen a good movie, like, or like Rocky, for example. I've seen all the Rockies. I've seen all the Creeds. You know, 9 of the movies out of the, like, 800 movies I've seen in my life are Rocky and Creed movies. Like, when I get a franchise, I zero in, I've seen them all. TV, the same thing. I've seen all the Doctor Who since 1963, every Star Trek since 1966. That is why I don't have as much time for other things. Because when I really find something I like, I'm all in on it. As opposed to just, I'll say, cherry picking the best episodes, best movies of a series, and then watching the other good stuff. I wade through the crap. I've seen everything, the good and the bad. I'm not cherry picking.
And the ugly?
Especially the ugly. Thinking about the, just, yeah, I'm getting like flashbacks to some of the ugly.
Oh.
Some of it gets pretty bad. But yeah, that's my problem. I don't know what your problem is.
That's a harsh question to be asking. That's very personal, Joe.
Well, that's what we're here. Explain to me your existential crisis, because I lose time by zeroing in.
I got life and movies and stuff. Shows come out and then I fall way far behind because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just going to do this one other project or learn this one new hobby. And then everybody else is talking about all these good shows and then I'm playing catch up on it. And then like 6 more shows come out. Then I'm like, oh, I got this thing that I'm like halfway through in real life. And I just got to do it. But it's easier to just sit and watch a show. But even still, it's like, okay, if I did that other thing, sure, maybe it would take me an hour. All I got through is one bloody show in that time, and like 3 more seasons of something else came out. I'm like, what the?
One of the things about you that like I could never do is, well, it's very, very rare that I do, is dropping shows halfway through seasons. Like, you still haven't finished... You still haven't finished
Invincible
season 3. Yeah. You still never finished Shogun either, which was a really big one. You dropped The Bear halfway through season 3. I finally just caught up on that myself. You didn't finish Andor either. Like, there's a lot of shows, and like those are just off the top of my head that you started.
It's not that I don't like them.
And never followed through.
It's just I don't have time.
And I think that's a big thing, is it's not that you don't like them. Most times people drop shows, me included, it's usually just because I'm not feeling it anymore. And it is very rare that I drop a show even when I'm like 5 seasons in and it dropped off hard 2 seasons ago. I'm still powering through to the end at this point. If I drop a show, it's usually within season 1. But it's, if I power through season 1, I'm probably there to the end, or I'll catch up at some point. You drop stuff you like in the middle because you don't have time.
I just don't have time. And then I pick something else up because I forget. You know what happens? I blame multiple streaming services because if I don't go on Prime, if I'm in a Prime, you know, if I'm in a phase where I'm doing Prime, yeah, I'll see Invincible and I go, oh yeah, I was watching Invincible. Guess I should finish that. But then all of a sudden I'm just like, I start up, I go to Netflix, and I'm like, huh, what was I watching? I don't even know what I was watching the last time I watched TV, because sometimes it goes like days, sometimes weeks between times that I'm like, yeah, it's time. Like, you know, I watch shows with my girlfriend too, and that's like, okay, you know, we watch shows together, But then when the time finally comes around where I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch one of my shows. And I'm like, what was I watching? I don't even know.
You know what infuriates me when you're making me think about this right now is when you go so long between watching things that it clears off your continue watching panel.
I have that problem. Like,
and now I don't know where I was. That's infuriating.
I have that problem a lot. I'm like, sometimes I get to the point where I'm looking for new shows.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what? I was watching this show. Where did this, that, like.
What gets me is usually, because I kind of go through cycles of new and old. There's a lot of times where, like, you know, because TV is less formulaic when it comes out than it used to be. But it's like, okay, so, you know, around September, around January, February, maybe around the start of summer nowadays, you get a lot of drops all at once. Like, I'd say two or three times a year, you get new drops of seasons. And in between those drops of seasons, when they all come out, I watch a lot of old shows. And when it comes to certain times of year where there's a lot I really, really want to see, I get sucked down the rabbit hole of the new shows, and the old shows that I'm watching just kind of fall by the wayside for months. And that's when I lose the continuing.
Yeah, I'm a whole season behind on The Bear now. Like, yeah. It's I'm never going to pick it up again.
You're because a season and a half behind.
So far behind that there's going to be too many new things that it's never going to come back. I'm never going to see it.
Even though I think they're ending at season 5. So there's probably only like 25 episodes you'll have to catch up on within the next year. But
nope, I'll probably never get to it.
25 times 30 minutes, 12 hours of your life to finish The Bear by the time it's done.
I'll probably never get to it. Probably because new not. Things will just keep coming out and I'll forget about it.
That's the sad thing about the constant influx of content now. Content has always existed, but it used to be slower.
It's disposable now.
It's disposable. It used to be a couple dozen movies, if even, or shows you might want to see in a year. You can count on your hands the amount of things you're following or excited for. That's how we were growing up. It was like, oh yeah, you know, there was like the big movie coming out this summer. Sure.
Meanwhile, Netflix's continue watching can't even handle just the shows on Netflix I'm watching.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Exactly. It's not
counting your shows on your fingers anymore.
It's too much. And I think that is a problem with just media consumption in general, is it's, I think people struggle to get to power through certain things. Like, a lot of shows back in the day kind of benefited from there being less in the landscape. If a network didn't axe you right away for bad ratings, you could get a little time to grow. Like, my favorite TV series of all time, Star Trek The Next Generation. A lot of Star Trek fans kind of agree the first two seasons was not that show at its best. But from season 3 onward, it found its footing. I don't think something like Star Trek The Next Generation, if it didn't have ridiculous amounts of IP behind it, would be allowed to find grounding like that now.
Probably not.
If it wasn't out the gate immediately great for a whole first season. So season 1, think about it this way, right? Season 1 and 2 of The Next Generation, that's 48 episodes of hour-long TV to find its footing. Most TV seasons nowadays are like 10, if you're lucky, between 8 to 10 episodes. So that was 2 years in a row and 48 episodes. Nowadays, 2 seasons of TV is 16 episodes in 4 years, nearly.
They're splitting everything in halves now.
Yeah, so just as a perspective, it's like, well, back then they had a lot more time to practice their craft, and if you kept with it and it didn't suck, like, a writing team got practice back.
So why are we having so much issue then? If they put it way more then, and now we're like, oh, we're getting like half seasons at a time every year.
And they're still not
that great. And I still can't keep up with stuff.
On the one hand, I do kind of respect that, because there used to be a lot of fluff and filler, and not the good kind, on old TV. Now it's like, well, your creative team put all your best ideas right up front. So if your show sucks, it's like, well, you know, that was actually the best they could do. They didn't have to fill very much space and they still couldn't manage it. So I think it, in a way, it is indicative of how quality a show is. But also it's sad that you don't really get more time to find your footing. On Next Generation, you had 24 episodes. Some of them were going to be good. Some of them were going to be garbage. But your writing staff and your actors, everybody learned more along the way. Think about it this way. Like, there's one not great season of Next Generation is worth three seasons of a TV show now that would take 6 years to come out.
Oh, man.
It's like, well, yeah, no wonder that show is getting canceled. But it's... yeah, so I see some pluses and some minuses on that.
Could you imagine that, doing 6 years of a show that's never been good?
Well, Star Trek Discovery comes to mind, but...
oh, no.
I don't like that one, but it happens. Now, Strange New Worlds, going back to Star Trek again, Strange New Worlds, they're canning after five seasons, which, it's just coming out with its third right now, but they're preemptively canceling it after five. And I'm like, it's not fair. You see online all these discussions about, like, well, you know, them canceling after five seasons is actually a huge win in today's super saturated market. A show making it to five seasons is, like, as good as Next Gen making it to seven seasons back in the 80s. Which I'm like, fine, that's true. Most series get canned after one or two seasons now, even if they were immensely popular. So, yeah, but I wish it could have gone for seven, at least, as long as the old series did. Although some people think they're just spinning off into a, original series reboot, basically.
Stranger New Worlds.
People think they're just going to spin off into an original series reboot, effectively.
Oh.
Which, fine, like, but...
Chris Pine and everybody in it?
No, like, oh, like Paul Wesley and Ethan Peck. Yeah. But, yeah, no, they're good. I mean, they're being built up now. And we're getting off on tangents. The point is, so that's, like, content. It's very hard to consume. But what makes me more sad is not having time to create. Because, I wish... the camera could see this, but I like to show people my list of ideas I have as a writer between the various short films, feature films, novels, articles, audio dramas, potential comic books, YouTube sketches and shorts. The amount... I literally have hundreds of things between all the ideas I have, many of which I'm very passionate about. And, you know, even at 25, you know, I hope to live a good long life, but...
you're not going to have time for everything.
I'm not going to have time for everything. There comes a point when you got to pick and choose, and I feel like we're starting to hit that age now where I'm like, well, I got to focus up in a lot of areas of life, but, you know, we talk media, so we're, you know, focusing on the media aspect of it. But creation is also a very big part of who I am, and it's very hard for me to come to terms with, you're not going to be able to do everything you want to do. There are going to be thoughts you have left unsaid, and some of them are going to be good. And it's going to be like, if you got any... level of fame whatsoever, it's going to be like somebody sifts, like after you're dead, somebody's going to sift through all these notes and be like, wow, all these things he never got to produce, what could have been, sort of deal. At least that's how I sort of picture it, because that happens a lot of times with artists. Like, they find the unfinished works, and sometimes they publish them if they were in any kind of structure, which I know some people say retroactively is like, well, man, the author should like the author or the artist would hate this because they didn't release it because it wasn't finished.
Well, I don't agree with stuff like what they did with Tolkien's works, where it's like he already published the works in the form that he wanted. It wasn't dead yet. He made his decisions about stuff. And then they took his notes after he died and went, let's add some stuff.
Yeah.
That's just plain wrong.
Yeah.
Please don't do that to me.
I'm personally, I give you permission while I'm in life to do that with some of my stuff. I'd rather the ideas get out there at all if somebody is passionate about them. You know, don't call me the sole writer, especially if you're bastardizing them. But, you know, I'd like if my thoughts could be completed by somebody if I can't do it myself. The more I've done on it, the better. But I'd rather it lives on in some form, especially if it was close enough to my original intent.
I got crying over milk.
Yeah.
It's not my original form, but it got done. It probably never would have got done any other way.
Yeah, and see, that's one of those really weird ones in the notes, right? Because you have ideas like Crying Over Milk we did, that theoretically, if we really cared to, we could probably do again because the original concept was so
different
in presentation than what we actually ended up doing that it's like, well, if you really wanted to make that original concept, we probably could do it again. But we already did an adaptation of that. So why would we, like, it sucks that there's an incomplete idea that'll probably never get adapted, but also we did a version of that, so can we call that a win and good enough?
It was a good idea, though.
Yeah, but it's just like, those kind of situations is like, well, you're going to have to draw the line. We did an adaptation of this.
You will never get everything, so take what you can get.
Do you get greedy and try to do another one, or do you call it good enough?
It can go at the bottom of the ideas list. When I get there, I'll do the real version of it. But you'll never get there because you'll be dead before you get to that end of the list.
Exactly. And I think that's just one of the sad things is sometimes you get a half-assed opportunity to do things, but it's not even the way you wanted to do them. And you'd 100% do it differently another time. I know, like, for our creativeness, Planet of the Beavers is one that always stands out to me as something like, man, there was a kernel of a good idea here by the time we were finished with it. I still have so many ideas for that world, and I would like to go back to it someday in some other form, whether it's like a, you know, choose your own adventure video game. I've had a lot of ideas for that, or like remake it as a feature from the ground up, or make like a miniseries or some other kind of adaptation. Because I'm like, the problem with that was we made it as a standalone short film, and then we did like a sequel to it, and then we did another sequel, and then we did another sequel, and then at some point we kind of figured, oh, well, this works. This actually kind of strings together halfway decently as a feature film. But by this point, we kind of aged out of it and we want to move on to other things. Let's just slap an ending on it and like one day we'll find time to release it. But kind of going back to what we were saying about not having the time to finish a show, Planet of the Beavers is just like that. All the files are sitting on my hard drive and I could be editing it and finishing it any time. But then yeah. I got stuff like the podcast. This podcast is current. So when I find time to edit, I'm editing the podcast, not those old POB files sitting on my laptop.
Aren't we at like the 10th anniversary and we've already, you're like, yeah, I'm going to have it this year. And then it was like, oh, I'll do it at the 10th anniversary. Now it's going to be like, no, it's probably going to be like the 20th anniversary.
It is July 2025. And I think the first one released in May or June 2015. So we are past the 10th. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, we are past the 10th and it's still not finished. And it's not going to be for a while because I haven't really touched it since COVID. So it's been like 4 years since I looked at it last.
Oh.
You know, that's one where we kept coming back for reshoots and like trying to finish it. And it's going to be this Frankenstein's monster of a movie, which I hope will be entertaining.
by the end. Come on, I did a peel out for the reshoots.
My favorite part is like, you're going to watch this movie and we're like 16 years old at the very beginning. And then there's going to be like that animal food section where we're in our early 20s. And like look very different, and then it's gonna like
back
jump
to like 17, yeah.
and then we're gonna be 17 again, and then there's gonna be random weird shots in there where we're 25, like in the middle of those sections, where like the continuity is totally off, like your hair is super long in some of them.
Oh,
like,
my nose is gonna be broken the completely wrong way.
Yeah, you're doing the Mark Hamill. We're like, oh, man. Your nose is broken mid scene.
Mid-scene, my nose goes from pointing one way to pointing the other way.
And then you get the shot in Planet of the Beavers 5 when you finally got your nose broken. You're like, oh, well, that's consistent for the rest of that 40 minutes of the movie.
Oh, I get it now.
Nothing changed there, but then in the ending, we switch back to like, okay, we're like in our early 20s now. And then in the ending, it's like, okay, why do they look so old now? And so it's going to be like that. Like, but it'll get done. There is an ending. But it's like, if we had a chance to do it again, we came up with the story over the course of like 3 or 4 years. It took a very long time. And like, it was like 60 minute long screenplay for the space conflict section that we never even broke ground on whatsoever. Literally the only thing was when I got Megan back to do reshoots for dubbing stuff in POV5, and she recorded one line that was supposed to feature in POV6, and that is as far as Planet of the Beavers 6 got. There is one recorded line that would have been in that script.
Wow.
And that is it, as far as that goes. But my point is, as a creator, if I could have done it all again, like, knowing what I know now as a filmmaker and as a storyteller, and even with this specific story, I would do it totally differently. But there's also a lot of other projects I've come up with over the years that you and I are more passionate about today. And it's like, well, that one's kind of going to be a back burner project. I'd love to get a redo, but also, I'd also love to make something new that I've never attempted before and maybe get that right the first time. So, like, there's going to be a lot of creative regrets. And, like, we're not far enough down our career to really feel those regrets yet, but I'm already seeing choices are going to be made, and I feel like I'm gonna have those regrets later. I'm gonna be sad about the things we never got to do the way I wanted to, or just ever at all.
No regrets. Once you're dead, it doesn't matter anyways.
That's true. Oh yeah, Retribution Isle is another one.
Oh.
The famous unfinished film of Thought Play Media. Like, Planet of the Beavers will come out someday, I guarantee that.
Never going to see the light of day, though.
No, Retribution Isle. Unless we get enough subscribers on Patreon, that'll be an exclusive for our patrons.
The botched movie.
The botched movie that was infamously
bad. Some of the effects work was great!
The movie that was so bad, it was shot during COVID on a monopod at a cottage, and it was supposed to be done in 2 days. It ended up ending like just before winter, where there are some shots you can literally see it snowing.
It literally snowed the last day we were shooting.
And Mateo and I did like shots at your house when like you weren't there, and it was like snowing, and we're like freezing in t-shirts on the deck because we started in summer and tried to maintain continuity. And this is the movie where we somehow messed up shot reverse shot. Like every other scene, despite shot listing and planning for it, it was just, and like everyone on set was miserable basically every day, and it, you know, nearly tore some friendships apart. Well, it wasn't that bad, but it was just a mess from start to finish. And we're like, but the story wasn't like awful on paper, it just execution was as bad as we've ever done on anything.
Yeah.
That's one of those ones where I'm like, oh, even Planet of the Beavers, us just hanging out in the woods and jumping out of trees.
We didn't make mistakes like that.
And when we did, it was funny, at least. It was entertaining. Retribution Isle was awful and boring. It was the worst of both worlds, and that's why you're not going to see it, probably.
I don't want you to see it.
But yeah, just the things we're never gonna get to again. It, like, I got a list of content that I want to consume just as a human being, a lot of great works, but I also have an incredibly long list of stuff I'd like to create. And it's also painful, not just the story-wise, but medium-wise. There is so much I want to be able to do. Like, think about the way our careers have evolved over the years, where when we first started making short films, or like little sketches or whatever, it was still a time where you could make it pretty big on YouTube. If you had the knowledge and the know-how and the consistency. We never were consistent, and we were like just a couple years too young to have good knowledge, but we were making stuff in a time where you could blow up.
If we got lucky, maybe, but
if we made the right video at the right time, kind of like Batman 66. We did that in 26.
That blew up. That's like,
comparatively for us, it blew up, and it still is the most viewed video we get. And we posted that like right before YouTube became a gatekeeping sort of community where it's very hard to get a leg in. But like, so we had a couple of good products we were proud of at the tail end of high school and the like our first year of university. That was like the first peak of Thought Play Media, because it was like, oh, we were producing regularly at a time where, and our quality was better than it had been a couple of years. Like, those were good years. But then we sort of started pivoting into, well, you know, we're too pretentious for YouTube now. So we're gonna make a web series. So we did the X-Files, tried a whole separate medium. It was like, we're gonna take what we learned with Planet of the Beavers, kind of like a funny short film series, and put it in a miniseries form. Okay, so then we tried out a web series. And then kind of intermingled with some like comedy sketch things. Just like other things we were trying.
We were consistent. That year we did a video every other week?
It was an X-Files every other week. I think
it was we did every week throughout university.
Yeah.
So we didn't miss one.
So we kind of like started with weird little shorts, and then we kind of moved on to short films in high school, and then web series in college, and then we went back to short films for a while and had a lot of ideas that never really got off the ground. Mateo and I wanted to develop animated movies, like 60-minute animated movies. Like, Mateo and I did a lot of discussions on that stuff back then, none of which ever saw the light of day, and we put dozens of hours of thought, and like, we even made some scripts. Like, we broke a lot of ground on that, never went anywhere. Then we tried to get back into short films with Retribution Isle, bit off way more than we could chew, and just miserable the whole way through.
Why did we think that we could come back from a big gap and be like, yeah, let's just go full on into something we haven't done in years?
Been a couple of years by that point. Yeah. With all new equipment, basically. And like, we'd only used that equipment one time on Manimal Food, and that was it. And then by the time Retribution Isle crapped out, we upgraded all our gear again to a brand new kit. So then we're like, you know what? We're too pretentious. So let's do some short films for film festivals.
We won an award for that one, at least.
No, that was good. And that was like, that was when we were starting to be like, all this stuff that either never saw the light of day or we got practice on. Okay, so we're finally getting good at our skills.
It's working.
So we did a couple of short films. But then in the meantime there, I'd also started the comedy sketches back up on YouTube. And we also, Ryan and I, started the podcast. So we have like multiple mediums we're juggling now. And all of a sudden, I don't really have time for anything anymore. I'm trying to put out a podcast every week. I'm trying to put out YouTube videos even once a month was too hard to keep going. I was trying to, during COVID, I started writing articles for the website to keep a consistent film review blog up. All of a sudden, I had so many balls to juggle and so many mediums, and then I dropped them all a couple of years in. and I couldn't keep anything consistent anymore. And even keeping like TikTok and YouTube clips of the podcast, like that's basically a whole separate medium as well, just for marketing purposes. And then you get to where we are now, where basically nothing gets released. Like our release is so piecemeal. It's like, oh, well, you get a podcast episode every week. One day I'll get back into YouTube sketches sporadically. I basically decided to kill our TikTok and Facebook pages and just focus up on Instagram because that's where most of our base was anyway.
Facebook shadow banned us.
Short films were like, well, a lot of the people we met at these festivals were like super egotistical. Not naming names, but if we still talk to you, we like you. But it was like...
Short films got ruined for me then.
Short films were just like... well, we always kind of knew short films and festivals were pretentious, but it was like, well, we have a lot of good ideas we like for short films, but the people are just not that fun to be around. The articles were like, okay, well, I really like this medium too, but that's not really going anywhere. We have stuff like head-to-head where... like, cool, we're kind of getting into, like, audiobook narration and, you know, we're dragging our feet on that. Like, every one of these mediums, I really enjoy. Oh, like, comic books as well. Mateo and I spent just as much time. Like, once again, if we spent dozens of hours on the animated movie thing, we did even longer on stuff like Guild of Gallantry, which still hasn't seen the light of day, despite, once again, scripts have been made. Lots of work has been done on it. The internet doesn't even see most of the work Justin and I have done in the last decade. Because most of it's either half done or in a first draft stage. Like, I wrote an entire season of The X-Files that never got produced. There is an entire X-Files season 2 set of scripts that were decent at the time. There was an entire Planet of the Beavers 60-minute movie, full script, never made. Retribution Isle, that was a mostly filmed film. Never going to be released.
That's the worst part. It was almost done.
Like, for most of 2018 to 2021, we were doing Planet of the Beavers reshoots. Still haven't seen the light of day. That entire movie. Like, between Manimal Food and the reshoots. And, like, there's a lot that we just, like, forget new stuff that's going to be made. Like, there's a lot we've made that's never seen the light of day. And I really hope it will, but it just, that's why it feels like spinning our wheels a lot, because I'm like, I work all the time, and then I look at our feeds and I'm like, oh, there's nothing in there, but I'm making stuff all the time. It's frustrating.
Maybe that's the thing. You gotta make a pact with the internet right now. Be like, once I hit 30, I'm gonna stop consuming content. I'm just gonna create. Consuming content takes lots of time.
It takes too much time.
How much time do you spend consuming content?
More than I create, that's for sure.
Flip it.
I plan to, but we can't
do this podcast. How can you do a movie and TV review podcast if you don't watch any movies or TV?
Yeah, see, that's another thing about my consumption is if you look at, like, the articles I post on thoughtplane.ca, most of them are, like, leisure lists. And I'm very behind on those, but there's, like, 20 things a year on there. Like, a month. Sorry, 20 things a month, nearly. If you look at the things I consume between movies and TV shows, I finish something basically every day or every other day.
You're crazy. I don't even finish one episode every day.
Yeah, I'm down from my peak for sure, but there was a time where I was basically watching like 20 things out of 30 days a month. And those are the things I finished. I was watching more. That's just when I...
This is why I could never keep up with you with leisure lists. It's crazy how much you consume.
Yeah, because I came back to you every couple of weeks on a leisure list and you're like, oh,
hey, it's time for a leisure list.
I've got like 3 or 4 things. I'm like, okay, I got 16. I can whittle them down.
I got like half a season of a show and that's it.
Look, but I always say the consumption time is, it's not really a fair ratio, because we consume different things. My big example is always video games. You probably put as much time into video games as I do on TV and movies, but it looks like I'm accomplishing more because like there's a more set end date. I put 10 hours of my time into a TV show and there's a season done for a modern show. You put 10 hours into Marvel Rivals, it's just 10 hours into Marvel Rivals. You're going to put 10 more hours into Marvel Rivals. I put 10 more hours. I put 40 hours into a show. I just watched 4 seasons of TV. You put 40 hours into Marvel Rivals, it's still just one thing on the list, you know?
But what could you do with that 40 hours if you were creating instead?
A lot. Quite a lot. Look, the thing about, you know, this quarter life crisis is I plan, basically as a human being, I'm already through, I've consumed so much since my teen years.
And you can't consume everything.
And I can't consume everything, but as far as TV and movies goes, I'm whittling all my lists down very, very fast. I feel like before I'm 30, I will have watched all the classic TV and movies I really want to see. And then I'll probably move to consuming classic novels or actually get into video games, and then like I'll rip through video games at that point. But like as far as the mediums of TV and movies, I'll have consumed most of the ones I want. Like I guarantee I'll never see everything. That's impossible, but I'll have seen most of the things I'm most passionate about, so I can take some solace in that, and then I'll spend the rest of my life creating more than I consume. I feel like 30 is going to be my flipping point, where like...
It's time to create.
I do want to create more now, but
there needs to be a hole. I think the problem with creation is that we have too much content and too much creation now.
Well, that's true. It also I feel,
but not quality. Nobody cares about quality anymore.
Well, that is part of the reason I feel disincentivized to create when I do, because it's like all my creations are spread across so many mediums, and every single one of those mediums requires quality and consistency to build up an audience. I barely have time to post to any of those individual mediums, let alone every single one of them consistently. This podcast, we basically put out every single week and our numbers are still incredibly low. It's basically been a weekly podcast for 3 years straight and very little to no growth to show for it at this time.
Everybody and their grandma has a podcast, so.
I know it's a saturated market, but it's just like even quality and consistency count for nothing now. This is episode 140 something at this point.
There's just too much. It's quality and consistency doesn't matter if you're looking at a flood.
So my point is, it's part of the ease of consumption is that I feel like as a creator, I'm just like, well, creating takes a lot of energy and it's not... Like, consumption gives me a dopamine hit, and all that time of creating is like, well, nobody's going to watch it anyway. And I do get a deeper, more long-lasting sense of joy for my creation than I do with the quick dopamine hits of YouTube Shorts or whatever. But at the same time, I also kind of want to feel like that effort is an investment into building an audience of people who can appreciate that work at some point. It's not just going to go into the internet ether and be lost. And culture the way it is, I just feel like my creation, I work very hard for very little reward. I saw the same thing with my YouTube sketches. Like, some of them were picking up some traction, but like, I put way too much effort into those. I put a lot of time analyzing the script. Like I even had, like, you know, structure wise, I'm like, oh, you know, it's got to be like four gags per page, and like, you know, very, very intricate with the amount of like jokes per minute, even, and like the way I shot it all alone in my room, like doing various camera angles. Like sometimes it was like 4 or 5 setups. It took me like entire days to shoot, let alone edit and make things seem seamless, talking to myself. It wasn't just basic shot, reverse shot. It was like entire short films nearly for a lot of them.
Then there's people on TikTok who make something in less than 5 minutes and then make money on it.
Oh yeah. Like it took me, if you count up all the hours, it took me probably a couple, like a dozen hours minimum to make a sketch that I thought was a decent quality. And yeah, probably more than a dozen hours because I'm a perfectionist, but it's, and I can only pull that off once a month. You know, ideally you're doing that once a week, sometimes once a day for shorts.
Well, the quality and consistency now is supposed to be for shorts is like 3 videos a week.
Yeah.
It's impossible unless unless you don't care about quality.
We tried water cooler conversations very briefly, and that
I felt like I was giving away my soul doing that.
Yeah.
The second we started having fun with it was when I realized, but now we're ballooning it into something that takes too long to make. Shoot.
It wasn't just like random. It started as random improvised things. And then we're like, oh, we have a whole story in mind. And like, we're going to make a narrative out of it. And then it became a lot. Yeah, it's just, I just feel like the time and effort I spent creating, I'd rather consume more quality at the moment, and like a lot of garbage too, but more quality. And I figure, all right, well, maybe like I just absorb as much knowledge as I can from the consumption process for when I want to create, because I will take the best of everything I have gleaned and put it back into my own work as inspiration, either because I was inspired by it or because I saw someone who was really good at their craft and was like, ooh, that's a good idea that I steal. Because, you know, artistry is all about stealing and repurposing. Artistry is like the original recycling. It's just you just recycle ideas and do your own spin on them. But it's not like, That's the difference between most artistry and plagiarism. It's like plagiarism is like, I'm taking all the ideas from one thing and basically doing it the exact same. Whereas most people just like, I'm taking a bit of this, taking a bit of that, taking a bit of this. Most of these things, the majority of people probably aren't watching all these things. You don't even know what I'm stealing from. Like maybe you recognize one or two big things I'm stealing from, but you don't recognize all of them. Just pick and combine. Going back to Planet of the Beavers, that's what I liked so much about it. Somehow you end up combining like Mad Max, survival horror, Australian adventurer cliches, The Matrix, Back to the Future, Terminator, The Lone Ranger, did I say Matrix already? Like, combining all those things into a story that is linear and somehow kind of works with a classic hero's journey, chosen one narrative kind of thrown in there to connect it. It's like the most generic chosen one story, walking through kind of rehashes of all your favorite pop culture of the last 100 years. And it somehow that made it unique. Just like seeing all these very blatant ripoffs with the most cliche structure imaginable, but it was like really entertaining to see it play out. In like, that's kind of the perfect distillation of what I'm talking about, is like, you like, you know, steal a little less blatantly than Planet of the Beavers maybe, but just you pick and do something interesting with it. And that's the funny thing, is a lot of the things you're stealing from now, we're stealing from other things.
Can't even track it anymore where it's been stolen from.
Basically, in terms of Western culture, you're stealing from the Bible or Shakespeare or like Greek myth. It's basically one of those three things, or maybe Norse myth too. basically you're stealing from like some sort of, whether it's Christianity or, you know, Norse or Greek or what have you, Celtic, I don't know. You're stealing from some kind of religious mythology, some kind of European religious mythology, or Shakespeare. And that is all the original stories there are in the Western world anyway. I don't know as much what the East does, but I'm sure they regurgitate their own cultural narratives.
It's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just rehashes of the same old baselines. I think I don't remember precisely, but there's only like 7 stories to tell. Something like that.
I ruined basically everything for myself by literally reading all of the old myths and all of everything. Like, I consumed everything of that stuff. And now it ruined everything for me. So now I just like... Okay. I have to turn my brain off when I watch things.
Quick search here. So these are the 7 basic plots.
Okay.
Number 1, overcoming the monster. Okay.
Cool.
Number 2, rags to riches.
Yeah.
Number 3, the quest. Hero embarks on a journey to achieve a specific goal or find a valuable object. Number 4, voyage and return. Number 5, comedy. Number 6, tragedy. Number 7, rebirth. Every story is one of those 7, or some combination of them.
Yeah.
There might be a few in there, but those are the extent of our storytelling philosophies at the moment. Unless somebody thinks of something else that hasn't been done in 2,000 years. The rest is just like, you put fancy window dressing on it. And this is what my version of this looks like. And that's it. So, yeah, that's the existential crisis. Just, you're not going to be able to consume everything. You're not going to be able to create everything. But just, we'll do what we can. Enjoy what we can while we can. And I don't know.
I'm on the path to not consuming.
I'm definitely feeling, like, the last couple weeks especially, like I said, I'm feeling very nihilistic and nearly just angry at myself for even going on things. Like, I really don't feel joy in consuming, like, short-form content anymore.
Oh, good.
I still do
it.
Get
rid of that. That's a big time suck and a waste. Utter waste. That's complete disposable content.
That's the worst thing, is I've always been aware of it, but it's still... The reason I justify it to myself for so long is because most of the stuff I watch is some kind of educational content.
Still poison.
I'm either learning some like scientific fact or some self-help tip or some something or other. Sometimes it's just
still entertaining. Dopamine poison.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad for you.
I think I'm just burnt out on the dopamine at this point.
Go outside and touch grass.
Yeah.
When was the last time you sat in the grass, Joe?
The last time I sat in the grass, I remember a time like 4 years ago.
I swear, if it's that time that we were all together.
Probably.
Oh my God.
That's the last time I remember. Maybe I have since then. I don't recall. But yeah, it's been 4 years since I've sat in the grass that I recall. Otherwise. Yes, I want to end on a more positive note. So I'll just say I'm, you know, trying. I'll just, life's short and I'll get as much as I want. I do want to flip to creation more than consumption, though.
Do it.
I do believe that even if I can't get out of this creative funk right now, just I won't care to consume much after I'm 30. There's gonna come a point where, like, unless I keep going with reviewing and I'm just seeing the basic, I'm gonna become the cynical critic guy who's just like, well, I've seen everything before already, but whatever.
I've already dropped most consumption. At least for... I've removed TV and movies almost entirely.
I do think that's a bit of a fallacy, though, because you still play video games like crazy. You just pivot.
No. What are you talking about? I don't. I really don't.
Well, maybe not in the last few weeks.
No. Even before... I only picked up a bit when I was playing Marvel Rivals, and then it went back down again.
All right.
I'm killing it all. I'm killing all of it.
I'll try to...
And then I'll have nothing to say on this podcast. And then you can do Joe Explains with absolutely every piece of media, and I'll be like, I've never even heard of this.
At the very least, I want to cut the junk food consumption out. Like TV and movies, I think that's still fine. Like some of it's kind of junky, but it's not YouTube Shorts junky or TikTok junky.
I cut that out years ago. That's absolute poison, Joe.
What I will say for myself is I've never been really the type to like doom scroll on Facebook. That was like I have, but it's not my personal poison or inclination. YouTube's my poison.
It's the same thing.
Always has been.
It's the same thing. It's swipe for dopamine.
I'm just saying, pick my app of choice. But yeah, YouTube's mine. Anyway, that's our existential crisis. Thanks for joining us. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at jchurchtpm.
You can find me on Instagram at ThoughtPlaneMedia, or don't. Cut your own consumption.
Yeah.
And check out ThoughtPlane.ca for everything else we do, or don't. Cut your own consumption. There's hundreds of posts there for free. That is enticing, I will say. And you can donate a buck or two there if you like our work and you're feeling generous. We hope to see you on the next close-up with Ryan and Joe and Justin.
Or you might not see us because you cut consumption.
But it is enticing.
No, you should watch us.
All of them. All 140-something episodes.
Especially the ones I'm in.
This is the most ominous I'm ever going to say this. Till next time.